session number 29536, Mr. Bert Scriven, reel 12. Now, what happened next? You just picked up these boxes, very heavy, I presume.
Well, you can carry about four. Two in each hand by the rope handles. Heavy enough. I carried them and stacked them on the crossroads itself, or rather on the bank alongside the crossroads of the grass verge. And I thought, well, about the only thing I can think of doing is priming these grenades, and anybody who hasn't got a weapon, for whatever reason, give him two or three grenades, at least he's armed. By that time it was dark, but I quite happily sat alongside the road and primed grenades and so on, and handed out grenades to people who were required. And to my amazement, one of the senior officers, and I'm not going to mention who he was, or his rank, or position in the battalion, came along and said, "You got any arms for me, Corporal?" I said, "You got a revolver. Do you want some grenade?" He said, "I've got a revolver," and turned out he'd thrown it away. So I tore him off a strip. I think we're mad in those days, but I tore him off a strip for throwing his arms away, and he ought to know better, and gave him about four grenades, I think, and told him to go and find where headquarters was being established. Any time I've told off an officer, I think. However, so we carried on like that until we were told that we were going to counterattack and use the same route as we come out. So I kept a couple of grenades, and I'd already still got a rifle. And so we walked along this right-hand transverse road back to the farm. And it struck me as very funny at one stage, because we were walking along this farm in single file, and tobacco plants at that stage were to our right, and the heads of tobacco plants in silhouette looked, to me anyway, rather like German helmets. And as a plant was hit by the wind and moved and waved, of course, we thought there were Germans there, and we were all ducking and scuttling away and coming back again as we realised how daft we'd been. But eventually we got back to the farmhouse again.
Where were the Germans?
Don't know, never saw any. I'm not sure they ever reached us. Well, yes, they did, because apparently some stuff was missing. Stuff that had been left behind, and that was missing. Unless, of course, the Italians had come back and pinched it. I don't know. Anyway, it seemed that Germans had been there. And so we settled in again. And the next day, I think it was, the battalion moved forward as they had supposed to have been. At that stage, I detached myself from headquarters company and went off trying to find where the infantry companies were and see whether I needed to bring ammunition lorries forward, thinking that they must have been getting short. I was still on a motorbike, tearing backwards and forwards quite a lot. I've really no idea where we went, where I went. I went back to battalion, to B echelon several times, I know. Oh, and one of the times, one day, I got back to B echelon and somebody came up to me and said, "Here, Corp, you know about some anti-tank grenades, the sticky bombs?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I think you'd better have a look at one of your lorries." So I went across and had a look, and it got a sticky bomb stuck on the side of it. Now, they are not easy. They are not easy to detach.
Had it been primed? It hadn't been primed.
The casing had been taken off, and one of the safety pins had been pulled. And
now, who'd put it on the lorry?
Nobody would admit to that. I gather somebody had thought they were going to be chased on the day that we did the retreat. And thought that they would arm themselves with a sticky bomb in case the tanks came down. And when it didn't know what the hell to do, because they wouldn't know how to put the metal casing back again. So they just stuck it on the side of the lorry.
So what did you do?
Well, it's a bit tricky because they have a Bakelite handle which is inclined. If you put too much leverage on it, would snap. And I think that would immediately prime it. Well, it was already primed, would stop the reaction going. And so I couldn't heave it off with that. I tried moving it, but apart from getting myself very sticky with rubber solution with which it was coated, that didn't move. But eventually I used a bayonet and prized it off and took it some distance away, stuck it in the stream that was running through the area, the same stream that went down through around the farmyard, left it there for a bit and then buried it, hoping that nothing else would happen. I couldn't think what else to do about it. At the same time, we were being strafed by German fighters.
What was that like? What do you remember?
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. That and occasionally one would have the Stukas come over, and that always seemed, even if you were in a slit trench, that the Stuka pilot had you in his eye and he was coming for you personally. And it's a horrifying thought. Anyway, we had an Oerlikon gun mounted on a 1500 weight truck, and one of the crew thought he would use the Oerlikon, try and get himself a Jerry. The Oerlikon is fired by leaning back in a sling with your feet on the base and you're up holding it, facing up at an angle. So he was firing away, and for some reason or other the sling under him gave way. And I suppose what happened is he just released the pistol grips, because he fell out of the lorry and laid on the ground saying, I'm hit, is it bad? Yeah, and so on, until somebody kicked him gently and said, "Get up, you bloody fool," he fell out the lorry. After which I disappeared into another direction. But I don't know, things seem to meld into each other and so on. then orders came to move. And eventually we found ourselves in a vineyard on the north side of Salerno. In between all the vines and so on, which were full of ripe grapes, but of course we'd been warned to watch for booby traps. You pull a grape or pull a bunch of grapes and up goes something or other. We didn't find any, actually.
Did you worry much about booby traps and mines, the S mines and all these other things?
Not in those early days. We'd been warned about them. We were very, very suspicious about them and so on. But in the early days, of course, they hadn't had much time to lay them. They'd been going back into the hills. We were following the coast more.
What happened next?
I was still tearing around on motorbike, trying to find if I could be useful here or there or get ammunition, whatever. And also, another thing I had occasionally was we collected the German small arms and such that were abandoned, lost, whatever. We collected them up, took them back to base for use, we were told, for the guerrillas. We could issue them to guerrilla bands and so on.
All the sort of schmies and rifles and things.
Yeah, we took them all back, and ammunition. The weapons are no good unless they've got the ammunition there. We stood to at first light every morning. Cold. Terrifying. You laid in a ditch or wherever, and you stood to and you waited and waited and waited until, about 30, 45 minutes later. It was apparent you weren't going to be attacked, so then you carried on with your duties or got breakfast or whatever you were about to do. About that time, I caught up with the quartermaster again. There's an incident that happened. No, it's a bit later. Caught up with the quartermaster again.
Where had he been?
Well, he was there in the vineyard. But I hadn't. I'd been tearing around as usual. I stayed there, and we saw each other for the first time. I mean, quite often he was going to battalion headquarters when I was at B echelon, and so it went on. We just didn't see each other. And he took a look at me and he said, "How long since you've shaved?" I said, "I don't remember, but I don't think since we came ashore." "How long since you've washed?" I said, "Oh, I did wash a couple of 3 days ago. I do remember that." He said, "Well, what are you doing now?" I said, "Well, I've just come back here to see if there's anything that anybody wants me for." And he said, "I think what you'd better do is get yourself undressed, have a bath," which meant to wash down in a petrol tin, "get some clean clothes on." I said, "Well, I haven't seen my kit for the last 3 or 4 weeks, so I don't know where it is." He said, "Well, find it, get yourself changed, and go to sleep for a bit." He said, "When did you last sleep?" I said, "I had a couple of hours, about 3 days after we got ashore." Now, by that time, it was somewhere around day 8, 10, something like that. And he said, well, go and get a sleep and get something to eat. I said, but I think you'd better have a sleep first. So I found a bivouac, erected it, found me kit, or some of it. There'd been a rumour that I'd been killed. So they divided all my kit between them. I found what was left, which wasn't much. When I undressed, I got practically no underwear left. My socks had disappeared. My boots were as stiff as hell from seawater and other water and such, I presume. And I was absolutely black from top to bottom. So I did as he told me and had a sleep. And then my next duty was to take a lorry load of captured arms back to base. And I got a driver, and the stuff was already on a lorry. And that's exactly what we did, which was in another farm.
Now, this base is your headquarters or further back brigade?
Further back. I don't know that it was brigade headquarters. It was just a dump that we were told to go to. When we got there, it was another farm with an orchard, and the dump was in the orchard. And the driver said to me, can you drive a 3-tonner, Corporal? I said, yeah, I can. I haven't much, but I can. Ah, he said, well, can you leave the tail down, start the engine up, and when I thump the side, you just take off and go out. That's the way out, apparently, which was signed. So I said, yeah, what's on? Oh, never you mind, he said. He went off. And I got into the driving seat, started the engine, and left the tailgate down. And suddenly he appeared dragging a small pig, which there was a farm in the distance. I presume he'd liberated it. Anyway, he dragged it to the lorry, got it on board, slammed the tail, thumped the side, and I took off. Well, I wasn't an experienced 3-ton driver. In fact, I'd only driven one once before, and that was a very short distance. So I promptly hit one of the trees, which turned out to be an apple tree, which was very useful because a lot of the apples fell into the lorry, which was an open one, of course. And I took off, and eventually got into the track, and he said, that's all right now, Corporal, I'll take over, which he took, then drove back to Biestra. Now, our quartermaster was ex-regular army, very strict, and he would not have living off the country or whatever. However, while he was out, the pig was killed, butchered, and cooked. We didn't know what to do about him, quite, whether he would blow his top or take part. Anyway, we had pork there. First time we'd seen fresh meat for God knows how long. Eventually, his batman went up to him with a plate with roast pork and apple sauce from the apples that had fallen into the lorry, and offered it to him and said, would you like some pork? And he said, where did this come from? And his batman, of course, said, well, I don't know. And we all denied knowledge of where it had appeared magically, as far as we were concerned. And anyway, it was cooked now, and what could you do about that? So we had pork for a couple of days, and so did he. That was about the one bright spot, I think. By that time, we were getting casualties. I remember that the transport sergeant He'd been up at headquarters company in charge of the transport, and he'd had his leg blown off, and they got him on a hand cart, wheeled him back to us so that we could put him on a lorry and get him further back. But he didn't make it. He just bled to death. And of course the Navy was outside at sea, of course, and firing their big guns, and to my amazement I realised that you could actually see a Navy shell as it was going towards its target. It looked like a shooting star. It's amazing. I didn't think you could possibly do that, but it can be done. Everything further forward than us was getting plastered. Terrible state. The only tank that I could find, or I could see, was a little Honey, which I think had a 2-inch gun. Useless. And we were being plastered by 88s.
What was it like being under 88 fire? Such a famous gun.
Oh, yes. Horrifying. It would outreach anything we'd got. Most of our stuff was 25 pounders, which are howitzers, very high trajectory, and hadn't got 3/4 of the range, I don't think. You felt that they could find you no matter where. It's a very versatile gun, that, used for anti-aircraft, ordinary artillery, and so on. Tank destroyers, too. Anyway, we moved to another location, wooded area, and we were getting plastered there with 88s. And I suddenly remembered that at one of the captured weapons depots, there were some 88s that had been beach defence. They'd been dug in, and they were still there, and the ammunition with them. So on my own, I thought, well, if they can reach us with 88s, we can reach them. All right, so it's a piece of artillery, but we have an anti-tank section with 6-pounders artillery. Different type, but still artillery. So they shouldn't have much difficulty. So I grabbed a lorry and driver, and we went back to the captured arms depot. I saw the officer in charge, and I said, we're getting plastered with 88s. I said, you've got 4 of them here doing nothing. I said, do you reckon I could have one, take forward? He said, you got any orders? I said, no, I haven't. I said, don't think I could get them, but if we got one there, perhaps we could do something about it. So, oh, well, I'm game if you are. So we got it out of the gun pit it was in. It was only a sandbagged one. And hitched it up to the lorry with some ammunition. And I proudly carted it back to battalion headquarters, where I was reprimanded, told to take it back again. They had no use for it. My logic wasn't theirs, apparently. I don't know. I still think it was a fairly good idea. So I ignominiously took it back, and the officer in charge says, well, I'm not surprised. I just left it there again. And then we started a whole series of movements going forward, or following the coast rather, going forward all sorts of little villages, areas.
Now, this is when you sort of broken out of the
We'd broken out then, and we were beginning to move. I'm just trying to place a date on that. It would be October, I suppose. Yeah, I suppose it would be, because there were still peaches on trees and so on. And we moved all over the place. Just told, go here, go there, whatever, and we did.
Towards Naples, not beyond Naples.
But towards Naples, all the time, following the ground between the Apennines and the coast, as it were.
Do you remember anything about this phase? It sounds more confused in your mind.
Very confused. We realised, of course, that the Germans, because they were retreating, knew the location of everything. They knew the ranges, they knew the locations, they knew everything that could happen. And we were quite at a disadvantage. Also, on occasions, we went into the Apennines, as was demanded, I suppose. And there, it was terrible, because the Apennines, as you know, they're a spine down the centre, but they've got ribs coming off, a whole series of them, all the way up the country. And we kept finding that we had an uphill fight. And then when we got to the top, instead of a plain, there was a valley and another uphill fight. And this is the first time I'd ever seen artificial moonlight used.
And what was that? Can you explain what it was?
Well, artificial moonlight was searchlights behind all of us, playing up into the sky to give us a little light to see by. Also had a disadvantage that it silhouetted you to the enemy too. But it gave us some advantage. But it was really a slog uphill, which was heavily defended, then downhill again, across a valley. Quite narrow, most of them. Uphill again. Until we got to the Garigliano, which was in the Liri Valley.
Now that's quite a long way beyond Naples.
That's a long way beyond. We never did see Naples. But that confused sort of fighting went on all the time. We, as I say, were the Americans' Fifth Army, which was composed of British X Corps, some South Africans, International Brigade, I believe, Poles, I think, were there. At least I saw some, but whether they were the 5th or the 8th, I don't know. Occasionally it seemed that we intermingled. Normally the 8th Army was going up the Adriatic side and we were going up the Med side. But eventually we got to the Garigliano, where there was to be a crossing.